Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
It is nearly a quarter of a century now since the death of Sophie Toscan de Plantier, and for most of that time, Ian Bailey has lived under the suspicion that he murdered her. Yesterday, one of the country's most protracted legal dramas, though, came to an end when the state announced it would not be appealing the rejection of Bailey's extradition to France to stand trial. Ian Bailey joins me now from West Cork, where he is still effectively captive and liable to arrest if he leaves the country, but now lives in the knowledge that the French case against him has run out of legal road. Good morning, Ian Bailey.
Good morning, Philip.
So is that it then? Is what they call in France l'affaire Bailey over?
I don't know. Well, it's the end of a chapter more than the end of a book. Obviously, the decision yesterday was significant, but obviously there are a lot of questions still unanswered.
Your own lawyer, your own solicitor, seems to think that it is pretty much at an end. The family last night released a statement expressing their disappointment with the Irish system. So it seems to be over for everybody else, but hasn't perhaps sunk in for you?
No, I think the sinking in, it's a slow dropping penny. And after a quarter of a century, in effect, of torture and a false narrative being cast about me, I feel as though I'm in a state of sort of recovery, and I think I'm probably going to be in a state of recovery for the rest of my life.
I can imagine it can't be easy to let go of something that you have had to live with for so long or turn the tap off on it.
No, it's not as easy as just turning the tap off on it. But the main thing from my point of view is that I must say this as well. I'm very, very grateful to a number of people, including my long-suffering partner Jules, who stood by me through thick and thin, and I'm very, very grateful to my legal team of Frank Budimer and his amazing legal eagles that he brought together. It's going to be a slow dropping penny.
You can still be arrested and sent to France to stand trial if you set foot outside of Ireland, though. The European arrest warrant is still valid, is still in force. Are you satisfied to live out your days here?
I'm very, very happy to live out my days in West Cork. I mean, I just think it's the most wonderful, beautiful place in the world, and the people are wonderful. One has to accept one's fate. And I use the Serenity Prayer a lot. I've used it a lot during the period, and trying to change the things I can and the things I can't change. Just letting them go.
When you look back at what has happened to you in the course of the last number of years, there's one view that successive departments of justice pursued you with a pretty single-minded enthusiasm, perhaps because of the allegations that you had made against Naim Gardaí. There's another view, though, that the state had a legal obligation under European treaties to pursue you on behalf of the French legal system. Now, you've studied law. You must know that there's some truth to that second view. Can you accept that point of view?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, study of law for me, and I went up to UCC in 2007 and was there and did 3 degrees of law, ultimately, helped me rationalise what was happening to me. I knew that the state were obligated by their international treaty under the EAW system to do certain things. It's interesting how they've chosen not to appeal this decision. So the state, somebody within the state has accepted now that, you know, that's the end of it as far as they're concerned, as I'm concerned. But obviously it's not the end of it because somebody was murdered. And the person who, and it wasn't myself who had anything to do with it. So there are still very good questions that haven't been answered that I'm just hoping may be answered.
I feel I have to interrupt us to explain to listeners for one moment. Are there birds in the background there, or what
yeah,
are we listening
are. Probably
to?
I should move away. We've got little chicks there. We did a hatching of the little chickens, and we've got about a dozen in a box in the studio.
All right.
They're not quite big enough to go outside yet, but
No, not on a cold day like today. Have you reflected yet that there is a kind of a symmetry here, Ian? You have been attempting to vindicate your good name in the courts, but that ran out of legal road, and now Sophie Toscan de Plantier's family find themselves in the same position. It's reached a kind of a stalemate in which everyone has to accept that they're never going to get what they want.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's certainly the case. I mean, from my point of view, I'm not viewing this as a victory, because I don't see it as a... there are only losers in this. The French family... There are ourselves, so it's.
I've met Sophie's parents in France, and they are convinced beyond any persuasion that you have a case to answer and that you should stand trial. And they're also very elderly and quite infirm now. Yeah. What would you say to them now, knowing that they are never going to see any satisfaction over the loss of their daughter in this lifetime?
Well, unless some new piece of information comes out, I'm very sympathetic to them. I mean, you have to remember this, that the French family were convinced right at the beginning that I had something to do with it. So I can understand their belief, if you like.
And their belief led them to say, if he is innocent, let him come to Paris and prove his innocence then. Had they not got a point?
Well, I think so, apart from the fact that we've got a completely different legal system, which doesn't, you know, we have a common law legal system, they have a civil Napoleon Bonaparte system of law, where basically if you're accused of a crime, you are guilty and you have to prove your innocence. And that was one of the reasons why I chose not to go, because I knew I wouldn't get a fair trial as we here understand a fair trial.
You were never tempted at any point. I mean, I know you didn't have the financial means to defend yourself. It was one of the reasons for not attending. But were you never tempted at any point to say, do you know what, I could actually perhaps draw a line under all of this?
I did, Philip, consider it. And I took advice on it. And the advice I was given, what legal advice, was not to go there.
What happened in court yesterday, as you say now yourself, it's not a vindication of you, and you still live in a state of affairs where half of the country believes that you're guilty of this crime and the other half believes that you're innocent.
Well, I'm not too sure about that 50-50 split. Well, I think it might be more like maybe 95% but that's, you know... another matter.
Well, neither of us have done an opinion poll on this, so we can both make up whatever numbers you want. But you know what I'm saying, that
there are those
who will never be separated from their opinion of your guilt or innocence, no matter what facts they're presented with.
Yeah.
Can you live with that state of affairs, or will you try and clear your name again?
Well, I've lived with that state of affairs for many years now, and I just have to accept that. But at the same time, I'm still hoping, and there are still every now and again a little piece of new information come out. I know that people in this country know that I have nothing to do with it. I suspect that there are people in this country who know who was responsible for the crime, and they're hiding behind a mafia kind of a matter of silence. But I live in hope. I try to be eternally optimistic.
I'd say that optimism must have been dented on a number of occasions in the past. Most recently, I'm thinking about the failure of the case that you took against the state, which landed you with a legal bill of, some people estimate, anywhere between 2 million and 5 million.
Well, I think it was 7.2 million, but...
Oh, my God, really?
Maybe splitting hairs there.
Okay. Well, it is money that is, technically speaking, owed to the Irish taxpayer. I can't imagine the farmer's market stall you're running in Bantry is ever going to be equal to that, is it?
No. I mean, I eke out a living. I'm lucky enough that I've managed to fathom a way of eking out a living.
So what happens to that debt? Are you going to be pursued over it?
I don't know. That's a question that you have to address to somebody in authority.
On a personal level, Ian, there's only so much time that anyone can live with the threat of being put on trial for murder that was on again and off again and on again and off again before it'll start to take a toll on your mental health. What have been your coping mechanisms?
Well, staying as positive as I can, being as creative as I can in the form of poetry and carving. I'm generally being busy.
Are you happy for your name to fade from memory now, to just ply your wares in the farmer's market in Bantry and leave it at that, or is Ian Bailey going to resurface in some other context?
I don't know. I have no control over that. You know, I have control over certain things I do every day.
What I mean is, will you seek the limelight or will you just go back to the farmer's market?
Well, all the markets are off at the moment because of the COVID lockdown. So I'm not actually actively doing markets at the moment. That might return. Nobody knows before Christmas. Everything's very uncertain at the moment in everybody's lives, you know, not just mine.
But you don't feel compelled in any way to take up the cudgels again to clear your name?
Well, I mean, I constantly, and I never will, if I can find new information and new information comes to light that would indicate that I have nothing to do with this, obviously I would welcome that.
Would seem to be a fairly remote hope, though, after nearly 25 years, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it does, but I think the secret is never to give up hope, because if you do, then you might become desperate and everybody knows what desperation leads to.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. Well, how are you going to spend the rest of today then?
Well, I'm going to clear out the little chickens here out of their box. They're about 6-7 inches high. They're not quite large. And I'm going to be wood carving, gardening, and probably gathering seaweed later on.
Wood carving and gathering seaweed. Ian Bailey, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much. Jeremy and Margaret.